is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
Here's Carmichael Dave.
Hi.
There he is.
Hey, how you doing?
Are you distracted by the chat?
I am. Is my, you know,
what are you doing? You didn't plug in again, did you?
The best laid plans.
What's been your issue with this lately? Like, you've been,
I don't know,
several times a week, you will, like, not plug in your laptop, go to play something off of it, and... nothing there.
Is there any chance we can re-rack just the first part of the open, or is that too much stuff?
That's a little too much.
All right, well, the open was supposed to happen, and then just for you, because I love you, this was going to happen.
Dan and Warwick, what's up, Dan?
Hey, Mike, I just got a question about the Giants. In your years of experience, have you ever seen, how the San Francisco Giants were once the New York Giants? Has there ever been either a franchise-to-franchise or maybe even player-to-player get-together when San Francisco comes to New York? Like, do they ever say hi, maybe, I don't know, go out to dinner or something?
I don't know. What are you talking about?
Is there ever any interaction when the San Francisco Giants come to New York or vice versa?
The San Francisco Giants come to New York and do what?
Have a game.
They play against the Mets, and what do you want to happen now?
Do the New York Giants ever reach out to them, either the players or the franchises?
The football Giants?
Yeah, the football Giants.
Well, what is the connection between the San Francisco Giants and the football Giants?
Well, they used to be in New York, and they got the same name.
But they have nothing to do with each other, though. There's no connection. They have different ownership. There's no connection between the two teams. I mean, there's no connection in any way between the two teams. They have no relationship. Do you think because they're Giants, they're like brothers or something? That might be the weirdest question I got in a long time. And I think that's an honest question. That might be the strangest question I got in a really long time.
I think that's an honest question.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, they have the Giant Picnic. They hold it over in Totowa, I think it is. And then they have the Giant Relay Race and the Giant Raffle. And then they all get together for the Giant breakfast the next morning, and then they go their separate ways. It is true. It's a July weekend every year when it happens. Yeah, and then the Rangers in Texas and the New York Rangers have the same thing. They meet usually in Abilene and have that in August every year. Lundqvist is particularly close to Yu Darvish. As a matter of fact, there's a kinship there between the two of them. Here's the Mink Man.
Soundgarden.
So great.
The cuts and clips that are catching our eye today.
Soundgarden.
It's time to go round the world with Soundgarden.
I don't want to speak for him, but having a close relationship, Dan and I talk every day, every other day, you know, from sharing memes to, you know, sending videos to each other to serious talks about, you know, our season, what it takes to win, what it's going to take to win a championship. Like, I have a pretty good sense of where he's at, and I think, you know, his goal is to win a championship. I think at the end of the day, that's what we all want. We want to put ourselves in the best position to win a championship. But, I mean, he's all in. I think, you know, at this stage, I can say that he's all in. He just wants to win at the end of the day. And I think he's shown historically that he's the type of person that if he thinks something, feels something, he says something. And if someone comes out with something that's not true, he will correct it, whether that's through the media or on Twitter. But on all accounts, based on what I've heard, based on what I've seen, I think he just wants to win a championship, and he wants to do it in Portland. We've talked about the parade route. We've shared, you know, what it would be like, what that would feel like, and that's our goal. That's his goal. I know it. We've spoken on it many, many times.
I don't want to speak for Dame.
But you're going to.
Proceeds to speak for Dame for like 2 minutes. That's C.J. McCollum. And to be fair to him, he has every right to be able to share that. That's his relationship. Certainly sounds like Dame Lillard is focused on Portland.
Yeah, Blazer Dame.
At least right now. Coming up at 8:05, How does what CJ McCollum just said possibly affect your Sacramento Kings? Because it could. Very well could. Very well could be the calm before the storm. This could also just be the calm before the, you know, bright, shiny day that's very quiet. I don't know. Interesting stuff. Soundgarden number two.
Soundgarden. I'm optimistic, but we'll see. We'll see. Honestly, it's not fully my call, kind of like I was just saying. It's going to come down to the doctors and surgeons and trainers and seeing how we feel. And a lot will depend on how I respond and how the foot feels day after day after being out here.
Carson Wentz. Remember when I was like, Carson Wentz is expected to be out 1 to 12 weeks.
Or five to 12 weeks was the diagnosis.
Yeah, I was watching video of him yesterday running through cones and cutting and doing various forms of drills. And, you know, listen, that's not NFL action, but he certainly looked like he was not being hampered by his injury. I find it hard to believe Carson Wentz won't start game one.
Carson Wentz is starting week one.
I very much find that difficult to believe, which is good news.
He might be in pain and be wincing from it, but either that, he will be starting.
Oh, you think they might just needle him?
Wincing from the pain.
Wincing from the pain?
You just, gosh, man.
Number three.
Soundgarden. Not being cocky, not being arrogant. No, I know that I would have been a better player in football than I was in basketball. And that's not disrespecting basketball guys. That's not disrespecting the game. That's done so much for me. I mean, I'm a household name. I'm a Hall of Famer in that sport. But football was my first love.
Ah, that's very interesting. That is Allen Iverson.
Could you picture Allen Iverson behind center in the NFL? He was a quarterback in high school, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a quarterback.
The thing is that it's a little there's a little issue on both sides as far as quarterback goes. Little small for a court. Now Drew Brees
I was just gonna say, could it have been Allen Iverson, the 6'1" quarterback? We all were like, right. Oh my gosh,
6'1" in heels, and I've been around him in heels.
Wedges.
He's 6 foot. Where I think Allen Iverson, now he would have had to, because he was also 100. Here's the problem. He was 6'1", 165. Now, granted, he would have added weight on.
Yeah,
no
he would
doubt
have had
about
to.
But he was the quarterback for Bethel High School while also playing running back, kick returner, and defensive back.
Basically, Iverson was the entire team.
He was the AP High School Player of the Year in both football and basketball. So no joke. I take him seriously when he talks about that, but it's the height. Honestly, I think through college, had he decided to pursue football, my guess is he would have been transitioned to running back.
Yeah.
And now I'm thinking about Allen Iverson as a running back, and I don't have to stretch my brain that much for that.
No, not at all.
Allen Iverson as a running back would have made folks look silly.
Allen Iverson, Hall of Fame running back, though.
I mean,
because that's kind of the crux of the conversation for me. I have no doubt Allen Iverson probably could have been an NFL player.
Yeah.
But you're a Hall of Fame basketball player, as he pointed out.
Right.
That's to say, yeah,
oh,
I could have.
You're taking issue with him saying I would have been a better football. Yeah,
that,
I agree.
Because that means you would have been a first ballot Hall of Fame football player. That's a hell of a proclamation.
I agree. He would not have been a better football player. It's one of those we'll never know, but we know. No, Allen.
Dude, you are a generational basketball talent.
Yeah, Allen Iverson may have the most skill per inch of any basketball player ever.
I agree.
That would actually be an interesting study.
Skill per inch?
Skill per inch.
That's some deep analytics,
if
dude.
If you came up with some sort of algorithm where you rated, so for example, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar would fall way down the list. So would Shaq.
Wilt Chamberlain.
Obviously, it would favor the guards. But I don't know that there's in fact, I think I do know. There's never been a player in the history of the game that was 6 feet tall that was better than Allen Iverson. Has there been? Am I missing someone?
Not better than. There's been guys that have been really good. I mean, how tall was Isaiah Thomas? Like 6'2"? Isaiah Thomas wasn't tall.
No, he wasn't.
I'm not talking about Kings Isaiah Thomas. I'm talking about Hall of Fame Piston Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, I want to say he was 6'1", but I think you're about right. Yeah, 6'1", 180.
Yeah, that to me, they're kind of in the same. Isaiah was amazing. You know, they're in the same stratosphere. Yes. I think Allen, as an overall individual talent, though, is better.
And by the way, the one thing people are going to ask, I can already tell, is, well, Allen Iverson probably couldn't have taken the damage of being an NFL running back. If you watched Allen Iverson play basketball, he can take a hit.
Yeah, no, Allen Iverson would have been fine. Allen Iverson would have ran with a broken leg, not even carried.
How many times did we see Allen Iverson hit the deck in basketball on his shoulder, on his arm, on his rear end?
I mean, his shoulder was perpetually
injured.
He knew
how to fall. Yes. He knew how to fall. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
All right, three for Madness. We'll follow up on a story from yesterday we kind of talked about. Are the Raiders flirting with Khalil Mack? Wait, yeah, you heard me right. Jameis Winston. Is it the wild thing corollary? Is it the wild thing corollary? We'll get to that. And, man, either a flex or a total D-bag move. We'll tell you what happened at a minor league baseball game yesterday. We'll do that next.
1, 2, 3.
It's three for madness time. Three for madness. Three questions, three answers.
1, 2, 3. Woo!
It's three for madness. Here's question one.
All righty. Three for madness in just a moment. Halftime coming up at 7:30. And then when I first saw what Jay wrote on here, Josh Rosen joins the Falcons. I was like, okay, why are we... But I like where you're going with this. Josh Rosen's on his fifth team in 4 years.
He's already a journeyman.
He is already a journey person.
Okay, fine.
Jay.
Sorry. I'm not as woke as I appear to be.
Yeah,
I guess.
Well, you know, it's only 7:17.
Good point.
Wake up. Get some coffee.
You're on your fourth one.
Three for Yeah, you know.
Gross.
The country's had an extra pumpkin spice whatever.
Oh, so you took it. Cody offered it to
me. I've already got a coffee. Offer it to Jay first. She offered it to you, and you turned it down. So I took it like the costumist that I am. And it's iced. I'm not a real iced coffee guy to begin with. And I'm not one of those pumpkin spice haters. But for lack of a better term, there's a saltiness to this that I don't like.
Is it like a caramel salt?
I don't know what it is. And no, I don't mean my coffee's like psh, making fun of me. Like, not that kind of salty. Like, it's sodium-y. Anyways, I don't recommend it. Two out of five stars.
Wow.
Three for Madness, question one.
I know it's just preseason, but did Jameis Winston show that he can still be a great quarterback last night versus Jacksonville?
You got to understand something, man. I'm telling you, dude.
You're on this Rick Vaughn
I am very much on
this
Rick Vaughn. I am a self-appointed Jameis Winston expert. Not a stand, by the way, for Jameis. I've had a lot of... Some of the obvious, some of the not so obvious issues with Jameis.
Unbiased analyst.
Very much. Going all the way back to FSU. Like, Jameis has his off-field baggage, obviously, and issues, but also a lot of on-field. Starting with the fact that it took him this long to fix his damn eyes. But when you see what he did.
Second and six, Jameis under center, one motion, one back behind him. He fakes the handoff, looking down the middle. He's going deep. He's looking for Callaway. And there comes the flag. Touchdown. And there's a touchdown anyway.
Okay. Both touchdowns. It's not the fact that he threw two preseason touchdowns. It's not the fact that here's all I care about. Go back and watch the throws. Watch where they landed.
That was my thing.
Watch the traffic that it landed into. I don't care about anything else, dude. It's preseason. But when you're able to throw the ball 30, 40 yards into coverage and place it on a thimble.
And that first one especially, like, you watch it back, like, initially. I'm like, there's zero way he caught that.
Absolutely.
I'm like, the only way he could catch that ball is you have to, like you said, literally place it in one spot on the entire field, and he did that.
And
I was like, whoa.
But yeah, I had to go back to your point. I had to go back and watch it a couple times to actually go, wait a minute, he didn't
complete that.
He didn't complete that. At first, I thought it was just pass interference.
Yeah, same.
He didn't complete that. And by the way, credit to Marquez Callaway for those catches. They were phenomenal catches. He had to do his job. But those throws were the types of throws that make head coaches drool down their face. Like, those are big league NFL throws. Does this mean Jameis Winston's going to be Drew Brees? No. Does this mean Jameis Winston is still capable of throwing four picks a game? I don't know. But if I'm Sean Payton, I'm looking at Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill, and I'm saying, you know what gives me the best chance to win? Jameis Winston under center, and I'll bring in Taysom for a switch-up.
No, and let's not forget, New Orleans has one of the better offensive lines in football.
Yes, they do.
So what you're seeing is Jameis Winston with LASIK vision.
Yes.
Jameis Winston, who had a chance to kind of sit back behind Drew Brees and observe.
Yep.
And Jameis Winston, with time in the pocket, is still a very dangerous quarterback, if you ask me.
He went to the Teddy Bridgewater School of Drew Brees.
Mm-hmm.
And he has graduated. He's now got magic eyes. And
why did you say it like that?
Because, you know, Forrest Gump. He's got magic legs.
He's got magic eyes.
And
they can see anything.
That was a Forrest Gump reference. And by the way, Michael Thomas is probably coming back next month.
Yep. He's a good football player, by the way.
He's a pretty good receiver. Number two.
Question two.
A fan at Akron Rubber Ducks game, which is a Cleveland Indians AA affiliate, used a Jumbotron to break up with his girlfriend. Is this a huge flex or a complete douche move?
It depends on the context. Now, if he was just breaking up with his girlfriend because he was done with the relationship, let me put it a different way. Let me reverse this. If it turns out that, like, she was cheating on him with his best friend or doing something terrible and he found out about it and he wanted to get a little bit of revenge, I'm all for it. Good flex. Anything really outside of that, it's a big-time D-bag move. It's not classy. It's just bad.
I'm leaning towards D-bag move, and here's why, to your point. Had it been something along the lines of she cheated on him, wouldn't you have incorporated that into the message? Like, hey, I know you cheated on me. We're done.
No, because
why not?
Because you've got to. I don't think you also have to remember he's a prisoner of what the Jumbotron operator is going to write.
Oh, I'm sorry. So rubber duck operator, like, draws the line there.
Probably.
That's
probably
dumb.
I could see them drawing that line.
That's dumb.
I don't know what the context was, but the greatest thing I've heard in the last couple weeks was, I don't know if it was a prank or a revenge or something, but somebody put an ad out or put signs on a telephone pole with a phone number of a girlfriend and said that she was giving away like $1,000. I'm getting this all wrong, but the point is the same. She's giving away $1,000 for whoever can call her and do the best Chewbacca impersonation. So apparently over the next 2 weeks, she would get calls at all times of day. And she just, hello? and then she'd hang up. Like, one of these days we're going to have a prank show where we go over some of the greatest pranks we've ever heard. Because there's a lot of good ones. Maybe that was a prank, by the way. Maybe they were both in on it. I don't know. Number three.
Question three.
All right, gotta go quick here. John Gruden attempted to trade for Khalil Mack. Smart to check up on the Pro Bowl linebacker, or did the Raiders show their you-know-what by making the call?
So the story here, apparently, is that the Bears being in a bit of a cap issue, and Khalil Mack a large part of that cap. Obviously, the Raiders traded the Bears Khalil Mack. The Bears signed him to a huge deal. And when the Raiders heard that they had cap issues, and John Gruden, more coming out now, apparently never wanted to get rid of Khalil Mack. It wasn't his call or completely his call.
Sure.
And, you know, who knows? I know it's fun to clown the Raiders. I do. And there's plenty of reasons to clown the Raiders. But you know what? Calling up the Bears who are in a cap issue and just kicking the tires. Hey, listen, that would be ego to not do that. You're trying to make your football team better. And if they could get Khalil Mack back for less than what they gave up for him or get him pennies on the dollar, no pun intended, I say it. There's no downside to it. No, they're not going to. And Chicago rebuffed him, apparently. And
yeah,
That's that. But I don't have a problem with them checking in.
It's just kind of, first of all, I do not believe for one second that John Gruden was not the final decision maker on that trade.
Right.
Number one, and that's what I mean. You showed your you-know-what because you could have just signed him for the same money. The guy is a generational talent. But, hey, we got a couple first-round picks for him. Jeez,
okay,
man.
Okay, but important derivation here.
Important what?
We have to separate these. You're making the point that the fact that they let Khalil Mack go was stupid. I don't disagree. That aside, them calling and checking on Khalil Mack, that action in a vacuum, I don't have a problem with. We don't need to go back.
In a vacuum, sure.
Yeah, I mean, we don't need to debate history because we agree on it.
But I think history matters here.
But I think in this case, well, So you're saying because they screwed up in the past, they shouldn't check on him now and try to get him back?
I'm not
you're
saying...
You're still mad about the old move.
Well, I'm not mad about the old move. It's just like you're basically saying, yeah, we traded a generational talent for no reason. That's what it's saying by checking in to see if he's available.
I don't agree with that at all. They traded the generational talent because they needed cap space and wanted to do things.
And so now you want to bring in the same guy for the same issue you would have had to begin with. Due a lot of money.
No, I got you, but they also
gonna eat up your cap space.
He's gonna eat up the cap space. But they also got the picks and everything and the new original trade.
Oh my God!
They drafted Josh Jacobs with one of those picks.
There you go.
I mean, that's everything's a well. Running back. All right, we'll take a break.
That was nice.
Coming up next.
I did not have me standing in front of John Gruden and the Raiders on the show today.
I was going to say this pool. A shocking development indeed.
All right, we'll get to halftime next, and let's talk about Josh Rosen. More importantly, the best journeyman, your favorite journeyman of all time. I've also got some other notes for you as well. We'll do that next.
One is bald, the other completely lacks talent, and they're both here to entertain you. It's the Carmichael Dave Show on Sports 1140 KHCK.
On the YouTube chat, Zebra PT is very mad that we play commercials. Does not need to be manipulated into what to buy. Yes, you do.
Yeah, we can't do one of those things. This is not a Patreon account.
I record everything because I don't like... Well, you know what?
Hey, like, by the way, not mad at that
First off, we don't do commercials. We do recommendations with our partners. It's a difference. I don't talk about anything that I haven't used on my own that I wouldn't pass on to somebody else.
Speaking of which, I need to follow up on mine. Thank you.
Secondly,
I
really
hope
what?
This one goes through.
I apologize to Zebra. He's talking about TV.
She?
How do you know it's a she?
She has stated as...
Oh, I apologize twice. I did not know. There I go, assuming the zebra. I did not know that.
There's female zebras out
she
there, bro.
She was talking about television. My apologies. Because I was going to say, listen, you want commercials, we can work something out. You want to pay out of pocket for the show.
Huh.
Let's do this.
Making incorrect assumptions. It's like Chris has gotten into your brain this morning. Chris, meanwhile, is in there. I love commercials. It tells you what to buy.
We have a little bit of breaking news. Not really. Oh. This is a bit, but here we go. This is exciting to me. Jay, my career with KHK may be coming to an end very soon here. As the Golden One Center has announced on their Twitter account, amongst other places, that there's a job opening with the Sacramento Kings.
Popcorn vendor?
You're not far off. Arena operations manager.
I saw that.
Did you see that?
I did. I don't qualify.
What do you mean you don't qualify? Why not?
I don't know how to operate an arena. I've never operated an arena. I just know how to operate a board.
Guess what? Neil Armstrong didn't know how to walk on the moon until it happened, buddy. Okay?
I don't think jobs work that way.
They should. The arena the manager is responsible for the overall direction, coordination, and evaluation of arena operations.
Oh, Jesus.
Including utility and changeover.
Oh, boy.
You supervise in accordance with the organization's policy, blah, blah, blah. Responsibilities include interviewing.
For the job?
Hello? We interview people almost every day.
I think you get interviewed, don't you?
No, you have to interview people to, like, hire them and stuff.
Well, that's bad.
Planning. Hello? Show prep.
I planned the entire thing this morning.
I'm talking about how you're qualified, too.
Okay.
So we're two for two. assigning. We assign things all the time. Go get this if we had a staff, which we don't. And directing work. Here's something. Rewarding and disciplining employees. I can 100% do that. I'd rather reward, but I can discipline. Ready? Jay, you didn't do your thing. Here's my favorite line. Jay, come on in. Have a seat, please. Jay, expectations just are not shaking hands with reality. We're going to have to suspend you. Done.
So you seem more qualified for this than me.
But technically I couldn't suspend you. You could suspend me, your management.
No, I'm actually assistant management.
Well,
I can't suspend you.
You're assistant to the management, by the way.
Jeez.
It's a Dwight Schrute reference.
Yeah, I get the reference, but man, put the stake through my heart, why don't you?
Addressing complaints and resolving problems.
That's
what do we do on the text line every day?
We just talk about the complaints. We don't ever solve
them. We address them and occasionally, what about when the sound's not working? We just did it yesterday. We addressed complaints and instantly solved them. I think either of us, what if we did it as a team, like in Dumb and Dumber with the tuxedos? You and I could go out and run the arena.
As long as the salary is fine, I'm in.
Bet you it's more.
As long as the benefits are good, I'm in. Do I get some tickets to the game every once in a while? I'm in.
Yes, you do.
Can you hook my kid up with Monster Jam tickets?
Yes, you do.
I'm in.
Yes.
We got to get the halftime.
There's all kinds of careers that are opening. They're going to probably need a sideline reporter soon. Have you thought about that?
Yes.
Yeah, you could go do sidelines.
Of course I could. I'd kill sidelines.
They're going to need a replacement for Katie. Jay Mars on the sidelines.
Poor Kings fans.
I know you're not, and it's like
I am not Katie Hunter,
no.
Folks.
Could she do both? Is that possible? Could she be the analyst and sideline?
Doesn't she strike you as the type that would at least try?
Yes. And she'd just be frazzled all get up, but she'd do her best.
Yep.
Halftime right now.
You guys suck. That's how my coach used to get me fired up at halftime.
It's halftime. As we get into the second half of the show, here's what we've been looking at so far and what we'll be talking about next.
The stretch. And the 2-2 on the way, swing and a miss and a fastball for strike three, and the ball game is over. The Mariners with another comeback win. They win it 5-3 over the Oakland A's.
Yeah.
You were right about that Giants series.
Well,
A's had a lot to build off of there.
One game.
A.K.A. the bullpen blowing.
One game and you're gonna
isn't that what we're supposed to do in the
receipts,
dude,
off of one game.
Internet age, baby. That's what we do.
I cannot
we
wait.
Point out people's flaws and we never acknowledge when they're right. That's how you do this job.
I can't. Well, hold on a second. I thought sports radio, though, was never acknowledge when you're wrong and always bring up when you're right.
I'm evolving.
I can't wait till the A's win.
The A's are going to win today, and then you can come in. I told you, Jay, building up that Giants series. Look, you got a tie with the Mariners.
I'm going to put my whatever where my mouth is.
Wow, that's inappropriate.
I'll bet you the A's win today.
I think they will, too.
Oh, well, then that's no fun.
I know.
Three straight games, the A's bully is blowing a lead.
Wait, wasn't I supposed to, like, vehemently disagree?
Yes,
we're, like,
and
yell at each other for 10 minutes?
It.
Oh, sorry.
Right, exactly.
I ruined the bit.
And there's going to be something on Twitter about how there's a crack in the relationship. And
Zach Beal will be reporting it. Right. We're going to each do interviews on KCRA, throw each other in the bus. It'll be good.
Anyways, A's have blown three straight. This was not a good. There's never a good loss, but, dude, they're now out of the wild card spot. Lou Trevino was a gas can.
I'll try it again and see if it lands better this time. More like Lou's Trevino. It's not bad, right? I mean, you got to, in the moment, it's good. He lost. His name is Lou. You can put Lou's Trevino. Good dad joke.
More like Lou Trevino. Yes, you can hit a home run off of me.
It's a little bit of a stretch.
It was terrible. Don't be nice.
Sorry.
That was terrible.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yours was good.
Mine was good, and you came in and just kind of crashed the plane. Congrats.
More like Lou Trevino, as in wine, because you're drunk and can't pitch.
That's better.
No.
I didn't say it was good. I said it was better.
Halftime.
Why do we have a job?
Now the pitch. Swing, and there's a shot deep down the right field line. Way back there, it is a home run.
Did you hear at the very beginning? I never noticed him play this clip a couple times. Did you hear whoever was in the audience go, ah!
That was me.
Why? It's the very beginning.
Now the pitch. Swing, and there's a shot.
That was junk Giants fan. Drunk Giants fan.
You're just having.
I'm having a great day today.
Speaking of relief.
Dude, it's 7:40. I need to get it together.
We need a KCK bullpen.
There's a reason why I'm hitting vacation on Thursday.
It's
that time.
You're a day away from getaway day.
I'm going down to AAA for a few days to get my stuff right.
Is this like senioritis? Are you just done?
Yes, 100%.
Giants start a series with the New York Metropolitans today. I believe first pitch there, if I remember correctly, is 7:05. From Citi Field, one of the few foreign, and by foreign I mean outside of Northern California ballparks, I have seen a game at Citi Field.
You've been to Citi Field?
I've been to Citi Field.
For why? How come?
It was 2004. It was the Tribeca Film Festival when the Jason Harris, the Down in the Valley that nobody's ever seen, when that debuted.
I've seen it.
We went out there for that. And Citi Field is an underrated,
gorgeous
ballpark.
Right?
It is. Gorgeous and clean.
You know, it's the one the team sucks, but I'd love to check out their ballpark just because it
Pittsburgh.
Yes,
yeah, same.
Dude, same. That park looks amazing.
It really, really looks fantastic. I would 100% love to see that ballpark in person. Camden Yards is a little, weirdly enough, Camden Yards kind of old in the tooth, long in the tooth now.
30 years old now, I think.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. And, remember when Camden, it was just like this, oh my God.
I think when you put aside the early, the Ebbets Field Polo Grounds parks, that's in one category. Then kind of in that same category, but different, is your Wrigley and your Fenway and those.
The OGs.
That's another one. I think Camden Yards is the most important ballpark of the last 75 years because Camden Yards really started. Yeah. That's what Camden Yards informed the construction of AT&T Park.
I was just going to say, you can see the similarities.
Pittsburgh,
yeah.
Yes, you've seen a lot of these kind of throwback old school, and they all bred into each other. Mm-hmm. But remember, for the longest time, everything was Riverfront Stadium, the Astrodome, you know, all these different domes and cookie cutter ballparks.
Metrodome in Minnesota. Yeah, yeah, no.
All these
Kingdome, Seattle.
Right. And really when you look at kind of starting in the late 60s, 70s, and 80s, all the ballparks, even Atlanta's, which wasn't a dome.
Fulton County.
Yeah, were just really bad. And then Camden Yards went, you know, what if we kind of go throwback, but also with new amenities?
Mm-hmm. Modern.
Modern. And put a little money into the architecture here, and it worked.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Team sucks.
But that's okay. They've been good while Camden Yards is open. But, yeah, to your point, you look at Oracle Park now. You see the similarities mm-hmm. with the brick. It's mm-hmm. just because, to me, Oracle's one of the best baseball venues in the world.
I completely agree.
Another one that's kind of along the same lines. Have you been to Petco?
I haven't, and I've heard a lot of really good things about Petco.
A really great place to watch a game.
When you look at Petco as opposed to what they had in the Murph, mm-hmm. no offense to that, but
Jack Murphy was it's like Oakland Coliseum.
The stadium.
Yeah, Jack Murphy, the person, was.
Yeah, he was fine. What I do wonder, though, Jay, and there's no way to tell until the future, but with this kind of stadium era we're in right now, Levi, Allegiant, SoFi in L.A.,
mm-hmm.
I wonder if we're going to look back on these stadiums, kind of like we look back on a lot of these Astrodome-type places. Remember, the Astrodome was called, the eighth wonder of the world?
Yeah.
It was a big deal when the Astrodome showed
up. Well, it's to the point they can never even demolish it because it's now a historic landmark in Houston. It's that much of a big deal.
So what I wonder is, are we going to be sitting here 20 years from now when NFL team XYZ decides to build a stadium with sort of a Lambeau Soldier Field-y kind of throwback vibe.
Have some soul to it.
Are we going to have that same? Yes. Are we in the Astrodome era of NFL stadiums?
Maybe not like SoFi or Cowboy Stadium in Dallas, or what's it, AT&T in Dallas?
AT&T.
Like those are different, but like to your point, I definitely think down in Santa Clara, Levi will be that stadium.
I agree with you.
You've watched football. Have you been to a football game there?
I have.
It doesn't have a lot of soul. It's nice, but I think it's nice because it's new. I don't see it aging well.
I went to the first regular season game there. And I mention that only because I haven't been back, and I want to give them a little bit of credit that maybe it was because it was the first regular season game. But it was sterile, and I don't mean that like clean,
yes.
although it was clean.
No.
It just – there was no soul.
Sterile was always the way I heard it described before I watched the football game.
Absolutely
there.
No soul. Getting in and out, and especially out of that stadium, was a nightmare.
Word of advice, take a train there.
Well, right, and that's what we didn't do. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, half the fans, especially at the beginning of the season, are literally bursting into flames
mm-hmm.
because it's so hot on one side of that stadium.
Yeah.
You'd think people would. Well, this is not San Francisco. This is San Jose. It's different. Yeah, Santa Clara. It's different.
Well, then you got the snobby corporate guys in the bottom parts, and you've seen it before, like the empty stadiums, because those guys aren't trying to go to games unless the team is, Super Bowl contending.
Wait, what? What did you just say?
The corporate guysy?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were saying in general. Like,
No. I mean like those corporate fans.
Right.
That have the season tickets that, the 49ers, they're 2-5. Well, I'm not going to go out there and sweat during the football game today. I can watch it at home.
Well, and we've
in
seen.
In my palace.
Well, we've seen that too. And we saw it at, we saw a lot of it at Chase Center in San Francisco now where the Warriors play.
Mm-hmm.
What you've seen. And by the way, not as bad, let me be clear, not as bad, but a little bit of that at Golden 1.
A little bit.
I mean, I'm talking about if Chase Center is a 10 on the scale, Golden One is a two.
On the snobbery level,
this is
right?
not a shot at the Kings. I think the Kings have done a ton to make not only a good stadium, a good arena, a good experience, and also a value experience. That's not a shot. I'm saying it's a natural thing in sports that some fans are getting priced further away from the court.
Yes, agreed.
And that directly affects ambiance.
100%. You don't have the rabid fan down there.
I know this would never happen, but if I was a quadrillionaire, and by
you're
the way,
almost there.
Quadrillion is an actual.
Listen, you keep selling those Yogi Ferrell top shots for 100K.
You must sell me a CryptoPunk. if I had more money than God and I owned an NBA team, for example, I would try to come up with some sort of program where you took an oval around the lower level, maybe three rows, and you didn't allow season tickets. And what you did is every single game, you did some sort of random upper deck moves down thing. You name the seats, you call it a set, whatever it is, so that you could have those crazies, mm-hmm. the great unwashed mix with yes. the wine and cheese crowd to make it more of a loud, crazy experience.
And just to watch the wine and cheese crowd like, oh my God.
Oh, my God.
The beer drinkers are down. The beer and hot dog drinkers are down. Get them away. Get them away before they might touch us and breathe. They have the hot dog variant of the COVID.
They don't get to get into the Lexus Lounge.
No. There's the Toyota Lounge for them. We go to the Lexus Lounge.
Now there's anything wrong with Toyota, the parent of Lexus.
That's correct. And not that there's anything wrong with Lexus, a fine luxury automobile.
They get to go to the Datsun.
Pinto Lounge. Mercury Lounge if you've got a little bit of money. Like, they do need to do that, right? We have the Lexus Lounge for the people that should be there.
Yes.
We need a Datsun Lounge. I'm with you. What's the cocktail there? The 280Z. Get you from 0 to 100 in 6 seconds, baby. We need to move on to the journeyman conversation.
Yeah, we do.
Because this is fun.
Number three.
Come on. Right. I'll give number three. The Saints won. The Jags lost.
Jameis Winston
looks good. Right. And Trevor Lawrence looks like he's in for a rough season with that Jaguars team.
I do have a $1,000 bet with a guy on Twitter that'll never pay up. That he said that a combination of QBR and yardage and touchdowns, that Trevor Lawrence will be a top 10 quarterback in the NFL this year.
He realizes he has to have players to throw to and line and all that stuff. Okay.
Josh Rosen was released by the 49ers last week. Josh Rosen's 49er career go down with, Jim Druckenmiller.
Oh, you want to do that? Oh, let's go. Cody Pickett.
Hey.
Ken Dorsey. Sean Hill was okay.
Was Kaepernick on a 49er for a minute?
Yes.
I feel like he was.
He was like a third stringer for like a season. I don't even know if it was a full season.
Josh Rosen
Miller.
Josh Rosen's already on his fifth team in four seasons. Boy, that's a rough waste of a draft pick, isn't it? Who drafted him originally? The Cardinals?
Yeah. Cardinals take him at number 10. They draft Kyler Murray the next year. He's released. He goes to Miami. They draft Tua Tagovailoa, so they're like, yeah, we're not going to worry about trying to develop you. So then he goes into the Tampa Bay, where he is a practice squad member. Niners pick him up at the end of last year. He is released because he can't get reps because Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance play football too.
Right.
And now the Falcons lose A.J. McCarron for the season, their backup. And now he has a chance to compete to be Matt Ryan's backup in Atlanta.
I've been wrong.
Which they will then proceed to draft a QB in the top five, and Rosen will be gone by the end of the year next year.
I've been wrong on a lot of things. It happens in this business. I was not wrong on Josh Rosen. I very much remember doing the show the day after the draft and calling out that pick.
It was a weird pick at 10.
It was a weird pick at 10, but I have to, pull in receipts, dude. I called out the pick because there's two Carmichael Dave rules when picking quarterbacks that you never break. Number one, not that there aren't exceptions, but do not draft a quarterback with a weird last name.
Okay. Rosen is weird to you?
No, Rosen's not weird to me, but I'm saying Ben Roethlisberger is one of the few exceptions. You can count on one hand, but think about your grit. Rodgers, Montana, Young, Brady, Manning. You don't hear Gerbil Schnurber in there. Now, Roethlisberger, like I said, is an exception.
Garoppolo.
Thank you for making my point. So number one, don't pick quarterbacks.
That's why Trey Lance will be better than Jimmy G.
Yeah, that's exactly
strictly
right.
Strictly last name.
Trey Lance.
Easy.
Trey Lance. Even Johnny Unitas. It's not a normal name, but man, that name rolls off the
tongue. Joe Nathan.
Joe, what?
Joe Nathan. Giants pitcher.
Oh, okay.
Joe Namath, also good.
The other thing is, never draft a quarterback with a dumb face. When you can tell when you look.
Okay, because Eli Manning kills the entire.
I'm telling you, Eli Manning is the Ben Roethlisberger of dumb face exceptions.
Okay, because he has the dumbest of faces.
And I'm saying I'm not telling tales out of school. I have a dumb face. Do not draft me as a quarterback. Did anybody in the world look at Josh Rosen before they drafted him and think, that's a winner? That's a winner. Now, I know this is radio.
If you're trying to play along and see what's funny, just Google Josh Rosen.
Just Google Josh Rosen's face. Who was it? It was Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler with the Bears, right? Jay Cutler with the Bears.
Dumb face.
Another very, 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 very high pick. Okay? Jay Cutler. Did nobody look at Jay Cutler's face? That is not the face of a quarterback that's going to win.
Man.
But now he's a journeyman. I'm talking about Josh Rosen. So Jay had the question, and I like this question, and I have screwed this into the ground because this is a great topic that I promise we will revisit.
We can bring it up after the break because we got to go here in a second.
So let's think about this during the break. Let's make that the assignment during the break. Who are your favorite / best? And there's a difference. Let me give you an example. I'll give you one example, and that's all the work I'm going to do for people. Ryan Fitzpatrick is 100% not one of the best journeymen of all time. He's in the conversation as a very good one, but he's not the best. But Ryan Fitzpatrick's one of my favorite journeymen of all time.
Like, you see him sign a deal every offseason, and you're just so happy he's still in the NFL.
Ryan Fitzpatrick is the Conor McGregor of the NFL. If he wasn't a D-bag, which he's not, went to Harvard, which he did. But just the look, the swagger, the style.
Like, you saw on Twitter this year, like, the first day of camp, in Washington, he had the first day of school sign that they did with him. It was it was perfect.
Listen.
You can't do that with anybody other than a lovable journeyman, right? Because they have to embrace it.
So that would be a situation, that would be an example of a guy who maybe isn't the best at being the journeyman, but is one of your favorites. So during the break, I want to hear your ideas. 916-339-1140 on the text line. You can put it in the YouTube chat as well. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
All right, we'll get to that. And then after that, we're going to get to CJ McCollum's comments on Dame Lillard and how that may very well affect your Sacramento Kings. There is a whole train here, and we're going to hop on board. Toot, toot, choo, choo. We'll be right back.